And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about radio. I'm talking about podcasting. I'm talking about live streaming. Wherever you catch this show, we can see it. We see the numbers and we appreciate it. And there's been a whole lot of activity here of late and we owe that all to y'all. So thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate you. You're the reason why we do it. All right, well, there's two other people in the background that we usually hear from on Thursdays who do an amazing amount of stuff to make all this successful, and so I'm going to bring them on now. We like to do a segment every week with them where we sling out questions, get the opinions, and they flip the script and ask me questions, and I'm just going off the cuff and seeing how I do. In the meantime, let me just check on the role here. So from the Huntsville region right now, the diva of dilatory discourse, would that be Lee from Huntsville? Huntsville, are you there?
I'm here.
You are indeed, and we're glad. All right, and then closer to here, but also just silky smooth and buttery because his call sign is Butters. Butterman, are you there?
I am indeed here. Happy Friday, Alabama.
Happy Friday to you. Thank you all for being amenable to a change in schedule. So I pronounce a quorum. Hit me some whoop-whoops. All right. By the way, Butterman, I saw your significant other in the airport. We actually crossed paths the other day, or yesterday.
She said, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was very cool. I was like, I looked up unexpected, like, hey, what are you doing? All right, so here's my first question for yous guys. You see, I've been in New York overnight, so now it's yous guys. Yous guys. Okay, let's do this close to home stuff first. So came out today, the FBI has now cut ties with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Based out of Montgomery. Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, originally started off as an organization designed to fight against racism and that kind of thing, and they've really morphed into a bad trope of their former selves. But the FBI has been using them in recent years to help them develop their hate lists and who they're going to investigate. Well, the FBI says, no more. We're cutting ties. What are your thoughts? Butters, you first.
How do we get them on their hate list? Okay, it's about time.
Yeah.
How long has Trump been in office? Why was that not day two? I don't understand why it's taking this long, but okay, I'll take it. It's embarrassing for us as the state of Alabama that this is here. And just the whole concept of we're gonna lean on some other organization to determine a hate group and like what are you doing?
Yeah, like the FBI can't do that on their own.
Yeah, and yeah, that's just such a recipe for ridiculousness. So I don't know if you know this, even closer to home. I do believe they're still poking and prodding at the Etowah County Jail and some of the issues that have happened in the
SPLC last.
Yep. So
I don't doubt it. SPLC, I think they also put the Alabama Policy Institute on the hate list at one point.
I was just looking at their website. They've got TPUSA on there.
Yeah.
I think it's just it's part of the, like, we're done. I don't care. I really don't care what you have to say.
No more of yous. We don't want yous. That's exactly right. All right, Lee, weigh in here. Your thoughts. SPLC, FBI, they're not going to the prom together. What do you think about it?
Again, I agree with Butters. It's about time. I mean, why wasn't this done during the first administration, Trump administration? I don't get that. They have been, they were used heavily in Obama administration and Biden administration. And what they want is they want to tell them, hey, put this person on your hate, this group on your hate list. And then the FBI comes in and says, okay, it's on this hate list, so now we're going to investigate.
Yeah.
You know, it's just setting up their own investigation. So essentially trying to use them as cover. My question is, why do they, because, you know, racism is waning. So, since they can't manufacture more, they have to jump in and say, well, now it's based on all the LGBTQ and trans stuff. And it's, you know, they're taking groups to just say, hey, can we keep that in your own bedroom? Oh, they're a hate group now.
Yeah.
And it's insulting. They have parents' rights groups on there, like Moms for Liberty, which is insane.
Yes.
They have TPUSA. They had Charlie Kirk on. I mean, they had TPUSA or mentioned something about Charlie Kirk, what, a few days before he was shot? I mean, they got to take some responsibility at some point on who they call hate and you know, what it's all a big camouflage. And I also want to know, you know, Morris Dees, one of the founders.
Yeah.
Why is he so rich? Why does he have so much money onto our accounts? Where does that money come from?
Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up, because they are known for having massive amounts of money that they squirrel away in offshore accounts as a nonprofit. So there's that.
And so does this mean we're in the business of thought crimes? Is that what the hate is that what we're doing in 2025? And
well, I will say,
what exactly is a—
it was a heavy part of the DOJ's background support network for the Biden era. So I would say the answer to that is probably yes.
Hey, I like what Trump's doing. Let's look, you're a terrorist group or you're not. And let's move on from there.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, I think, so I don't believe that the SPLC was relied upon during the Trump administration first time. I think this is a Democrat thing, this is a Democrat thing. And the Biden administration is the one that glommed onto it and really made it a thing. But I think what brought it to the forefront is the recognition of what happened with Charlie Kirk and TPUSA being branded as a hate group. And then next thing you know, there was a murder, Charlie Kirk. You may also remember what happened a few years back when they had the Family Research Council, like, you know, Tony Perkins and those guys. Family Research Council was put on the hate group. They're a Christian group that advocates for against same-sex marriage and that kind of thing. And they literally had someone go in their office and shoot up their offices in New York. And I can't recall if somebody died or not, but it was awful. It was because they were labeled a hate group and it got people riled up.
I think that guy actually stated that was one of the reasons why that shot the place up.
Yes, it was.
If TPUSA is a hate group, then our country's screwed.
That's right. I mean, Alabama Policy is a hate group. What in the world? All right, listen, we got time. Yes, we do. Let's go into question number two. So let me ask you this. Government shutdown is underway. I don't know how it affects y'all. I mean, I know, Butters, you're in the private sector, but you've been a public employee technically with the military in the past. Lee, I'm not sure what it's doing to you and your family, but it's a thing. I mean, I'm watching family members in the military right now wondering if this is going to get over with soon enough for their next paycheck to come in. But let me ask you this. On the politics side of it, which unfortunately it's all politics, who's winning the messaging battle right now about the government shutdown? Who is it? Are the Republicans winning the messaging battle, or are Democrats winning the messaging battle? Lee, you're first this time.
I will say that it affects a lot of people here in Huntsville, so it's definitely top of mind, from contractors, you know, to military, to, you know, NASA, to, you know, a lot of people here. So I think the Republicans have the advantage this time, because the messaging is pretty clear about providing this Medicaid or Medicare or whatever funding, and the states that are misusing it. And I have to point to your brilliant assessment last night on CNN, and you did come as a receipt, like you said. They're using it to fund states that have, made it legal that they will fund, basically, essentially using their ERs as primary care physicians for people who are here illegally.
Yeah.
And it's just not feasible. It's not, and I don't see why people in our state have to fund through our federal dollars states that have decided to do this. It's not fair to the people that live here. It's not fair to the people who depend on our services here for our services to be misused. And perhaps if people thought twice about coming here because they weren't getting free health care and free education for their children and free, you know, money for housing and everything else, maybe they might not come.
Carrot and the stick, right? I mean, the carrot's been dangling pretty heavily the last few years, and free health care is a big part of it. Butters, what are your thoughts? Who's winning the messaging battle, Republicans or Democrats?
I think that the people, we're all just losing on this. I've dealt with this twice when I was on active duty. Once, I think, like days before I left for deployment, so that was fun. I would agree in this instance the Republicans overall have an advantage, in that I think most most people are, or more people are sick and tired and want to get stuff straightened out, and they're willing to deal with the pain that's going to come from this. But I mean, my entire career in the Navy was on continuing resolutions. And so I think everybody's losing out on, like, what the heck is Congress doing, or the Senate? Like, what have they been doing the last 28 years, I think it's been, since we've had a budget of any kind? You know, why are we so broken? And, you know, in terms of the messaging and the PR, both sides are just going to play it up to their own people. And I don't know that it's going to matter.
You know, what's funny is I had a campaign commercial in my 2014 race. But anyway, I had a campaign commercial, and it was me on a, you know, just in a casual, and actually what happened was it was recorded the interview, and they said, we got to use some of that. So we did. And it's me saying in DC, they can't even pass a budget. And yet in Montgomery, at the very least, we have a balanced budget requirement, and we've been doing that every year. And since Republicans took, anyway, the bottom line is I was talking about it as a campaign issue 11 years ago. And it's just nuts that this is still going on like this. Regular order business, we got to restore it.
I feel like I've seen a lot of the back and forth of who was president during the past, and not a whole lot of really great discussion of, like, this really is not a presidential thing. I realize, you know, that they're supposed to mediate and try to make, you know, but this is the one job that we send all of you up there to do.
For Congress, yeah.
For Congress.
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to claw back some of the things that were enacted when the Big Beautiful Bill was passed. This is what this is.
Well, it is. It's also posturing for their base, because they need a win. They need to show some fight, because right now they got nothing. And then there's a lot of talk about, and I don't know to the extent that Schumer is holding his entire party hostage for his own race. There's a lot of talk, though, that Schumer has to do something because he's got the really strong possibility that AOC is going to primary him in the next Senate race, and he doesn't want to do that. But I'm looking at it going, dude, you're in your mid-70s. Go to the House, for crying out loud. Go, you retire.
Him and a bunch of others.
Exactly. All right, that is round one of Butters and Lee. We're going to come back with round two, where they just flip the script and ask me questions. I don't know what they are. I just take them as they come and hope I got an answer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're going right back to Butters and Lee. So this is the part of the segment where we flip the script and they ask me questions. I don't know what's coming. I just wait with bated breath. So I'm going to go with Lee first. What you got, Lee?
So third week of October, the APLS, the Alabama State Library Board, is going to vote on some new laws that basically, for the library, is basically stating that they can no longer purchase more of LGBTQ slash transgender type books, as well as they have to make sure everything is in that vein, moved out of the children and young adult section.
Yeah.
And this has caused a pretty good stir overall, and the library meetings are getting interesting again. Your thoughts on if it will pass, which I think it will.
Yeah.
And what do you think is going to be the backlash?
Okay. So I think, first of all, the library board is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It is supervising libraries, which, go figure, I'm still amazed that we talk about libraries as being the centers of controversy, because that was like Little House on the Prairie when I was a kid. I mean, it was just this place where everything was cozy and wonderful, and you could smell the paper, you know, in the books. And anyway, the end result is libraries are apparently very controversial now, because activists make everything controversial. I think it will pass. I think that it will also probably stand. And I do think, though, that there will be some hate groups out there that that will immediately file suit and claiming there's discrimination or censorship. But it's not like they're picking on any certain book. They're saying that we will not allow certain types of content in our state-funded libraries. And I think that, you know, there may wind up being certain pieces of, you know, of this that get dealt with from the court. But I think the courts in the 11th Circuit or in the state courts are going to uphold it. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a First Amendment thing. When you're not curtailing somebody's speech, you're just saying we're not going to spend state tax dollars on certain kinds of content. So yeah, that's my thought right now. It may go by the way of Netflix. You know, right now Netflix is all about, like, you know, everybody's dropping their Netflix subscriptions because they're putting transgender kids shows on, and so I think that what we're looking at now is people are finally grabbing hold of their library board and saying, make it stop.
Yeah. All right. You know, they're saying it's tough because they can only go by the recommendations of the publishers, and sometimes they can't tell. And I'm like, well, look harder.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Actually examine the pages before you put on the shelf.
I've got two letters for them. AI.
It's just not hard.
Feed it in. Exactly. You're done.
Perfect. Brilliant. That's a good point. All right, Butterman, what would be your question for Moi? He's exhausted.
I don't know
already.
If you've been tracking digital IDs. So all this the stuff that the UK is trying to roll out with digital IDs.
Yes.
Already rolling out in some other nations. Sounds like Vietnam is getting pretty hard and heavy on all of that kind of stuff. I guess the question on I think anybody listening is probably going to go, this is a horrible idea, but is this going to turn into just another thing like, I don't know, Obamacare and healthcare that we sit here and go, no, and there's hand wringing from the Republicans? Never. That's a horrible idea. Horrible idea. And then eventually it gets passed, and then we're just living with this digital ID system that tracks everything that we do.
Wow, that was a lot. So first of all, the UK is where free speech goes to die now. And
apparently,
and I think under the current administration and even a J.D. Vance administration, you would not see a push for this, because even if Congress passed it, I don't think that the president or our current vice president would sign it into law. But I will say this, you have to keep an eye on this, because they are in the absence of a constitutional free speech right, nations around the world have decided they want to grab the narrative because they're scared of social media and the ability to have 24/7 discourse. And they don't want real-time news. And they want to control the flow. And they no longer have to deal with the big three networks. Now they have to deal with everybody with a keyboard. So I think you're going to wind up seeing a push for this nationwide, or excuse me, worldwide. And I think we have to really stay on our guard here. This is a bad idea. This is a big government approach. This is a big brother approach. You watch. They're going to put it in place in some countries, and then American companies have to figure out what to do if they want to do commerce in those countries. So it's going to be
a
nut roll.
Mark of the beast.
And you know what? I meant to say that a minute ago. Thank you for that. Yes. And then next thing you know, we're having to put chips under our skin and
definitely,
you know,
reads that way.
Can't buy or sell without it.
Well, and I get there's you know, the argument that, oh, they track your movements on your phone and all that kind of stuff. That's by our choice. We choose to do that.
We do. Yeah, that's a good point. All right, listen, that's it. The music's playing. Preacher got to quit preaching. Appreciate you both so much. Butters and Lee coming in every week, and this time they came on a Friday. Coming right back, we have Attorney General Steve Marshall calling in. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.